This made him useful as a fixer, though he was a driver first, and ran the same risks the journalists did when he strayed into presidential compounds or, as in the 1990s, into riots. But he and the car, as its bashes showed, would drive through anything. He had to get his journalists, first, to where they wanted to go, and second, safely back again. If bad stuff happened, and they ended up hauled from the car or in jail, he would stay until he had rescued them, sometimes because he knew the right person, often by shoving and shouting. He became their protector and friend. In return, they gave him money to buy a better car, but he preferred to get a cheap one, and in his chaotic style, fritter the rest away. At times, he found he was thinking like a journalist himself, pushing his charges to get closer to the action when something newsworthy occurred. He wanted to be there in the sweat of it when history happened. Yet history seemed to have slowed almost to a stop in Congo. Nothing changed, and nothing would. Its leaders were idiots. The economy was bust. Some parts were given over to constant war. Fewer journalists came to cover it, so it was hardly worth waiting even outside the Grand. "Il n'y a rien, il n'y a rien," he would mutter down the phone to his journalist friends who had gone home. In response, they sent him clothes and money for the hospital where eventually he had to go. They had not forgotten Congo. Sadly, it seemed to him that the rest of the world had.